When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Well, that's ambitious.
Here's John Williams.
I guess the temperature game is kind of hard, isn't it? Although I'll bet I'm one of the few people that got that lakefront temperature wrong.
Lord have mercy.
111 on WGN. I'm in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. This is John Williams. By the way, the Crown Cam video series we did years ago is returning to little old WGN radio. We shot one of the episodes today. A series of videos that introduce you to me, my show, and really all of your friends at WGN radio. I put a crown on. There's a camera attached to the front of it. We run around and interact in zany ways. So we taped one of those things today, and it dawned on me as we were doing it that making a motion picture is a lot more complicated than it looks. I mean, I said, oh, don't worry, we'll just, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and suddenly we had ourselves a mountain of video and a script that really didn't make any sense, and how are we going to end it? So while the video is scheduled to run 30 to 45 seconds long, I'm going to guess it's going to take 2-3 weeks to get edited. But then it'll come out, we'll post it, and you will be able to once again enjoy, I hope, our series of videos that we know as the Crown Cam. Alderman David Moore said he could join us later in the show today. I'm looking forward to that, maybe in the 2 o'clock hour. But he's the guy that is proposing that businesses have to open up their establishments to people that need to use the restroom. Once upon a time, I was on my way to work. I was living in LaGrange Park at the time, and I often commuted with our sales manager who lived in that area as well. She was really attractive, really assertive, really smart, funny, friendly. She was a saleswoman. She was a manager here, and she was driving in one day, and she said, John, I'm sorry, but I have to pull over. We can't go any further. And she walked into a garage somewhere in, I think we were coming down Ogden, were we in Cicero or someplace? And she just walked into one of these places and she just said, hey, and then she did what salespeople do. She turned it on and she said, I have to go. You're going to let me do this, blah, blah, blah. And they said, fine. And they let her go in. And then she got back in the car and we went on our merry way. And I thought, you're pretty good. You're pretty good, because I'm not sure all of us would do that, just walk into a business we don't know.
When you got to go, you got to go, John. You do anything. I totally understand that.
And I think it is so much more difficult for women than for men. I mean, guys can go behind a bush. It's just
absolutely
so much more complicated for ladies.
The golf course is the worst.
How's that?
There's not enough bathrooms.
Yeah, I guess so, huh? Yeah, and now that you mention it, you will sometimes see guys in the rough, as it were. And they'll just go ahead and take care of business out there.
Or behind a tree, yeah.
Or they'll just hold it. Maybe guys can hold it longer. Is that, you think there's something to that?
I would say the older you get, no.
Actually, the men that you see on a lot of golf courses, they can't hold it. They're up 4 times a night. Who are we kidding?
Exactly.
So David Moore had a similar incident with a different ending. That is where I saw a woman turn on her powers of persuasion and she was able to use a restroom. David Moore was at a Subway sandwich shop, and there was a woman there crying, and God bless him, he said, why are you so upset? And she said, they wouldn't let me go pee here. I had to buy a sandwich first. And she said, I'm in distress. Just let me go, and I promise I'll buy a sandwich afterwards. They said, no, you got to buy the sandwich first. And then she lost it right there on herself, and I presume on the floor at the Subway when he happened to come upon the scene. And so he is proposing to your city council in Chicago, any licensee that provides public toilet facilities to its customers must allow individuals who have an emergency and need to use the toilet facilities to do so without having to make a purchase. Without having to make a purchase. A fee cannot be charged for the use of the toilet facilities under these circumstances. Now, they already have to let you use it if it's a medical emergency. So I don't know you're bleeding or I don't know what your medical emergency is, but for some medical reason you need to be in a facility, they have to let you in. Okay, I'm cool with that. The only other emergency I can imagine is you really got to go to the bathroom. He said a fee cannot be charged for the use of the toilet facilities under these circumstances. And then he said must be allowed to individuals who have an emergency and need to use the toilet. Well, the emergency is I've really got to go here. So if you are the Starbucks or the Subway or the Burger King, if you are, I don't know, the Rock and Roll McDonald's, I'm just kind of doing an inventory. If you're Banderas over here or Panera Bread over there, and somebody comes in and they're not even going to buy food, they just want to use your restroom, you have to let them. But I also, and he said he'll come by after 2:30. But does this mean you get to go into grocery stores or Nordstrom's or retailers generally? I mean, there's a bunch of those up and down Michigan Avenue, and they've all got restrooms for the staff. So how about the public?
Well, Nordstrom's, you know, they have public restrooms.
Yeah,
but
they do.
I wonder how he feels about having a public restroom. This just happened at Starbucks across the street. They now have a code. You have to get the code to use the bathroom.
Oh, you have to punch it in?
You have to punch it in. So
and how do you get
you
the code?
You can't just run in and go to the bathroom. You have to ask somebody for the code.
And maybe they'll only give you the code if you're
if
going
you
to make
buy
a purchase.
Something. I don't know.
See, I get it. Listen,
not sure.
This is very easy for me to resolve because I don't have a business. So this will never be my problem. This will always be your problem, Mr. and Mrs. Businessman. But I think as a courtesy, you should let the public use your restroom. It's a public restroom.
You're cleaning it anyway. I mean, you would hope. I mean, I'm sure if more and more people use your bathroom, you're going to have to clean it more.
And,
but
you know, some people are.
There's a lot of bathrooms around here. Just let people use them. What difference does it make?
Well, and I know some people are pigs. Some people just are without. Some people are not only inconsiderate. I actually wonder how they were able to accomplish the stuff they do in there. Some bathrooms are a mess. You go,
true.
Holy cow.
I'm sure some of their employees are the same way.
So I guess what I'm saying is I understand that Kim and I are imposing a burden on some of you that is unfair for you, or at least that we don't have to bear ourselves. This is going to be your problem, not ours. Maybe the problem.
They're
going
to have a bathroom tax now to pay for the bathroom cleaning.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking you might be onto something there, and it's going to suck for all of us. The businesses will have to collect it, and it's just more regulation. In fact, in the Sun Crime story about this, they said if the city council goes along with the bathroom edict, it would add to the mountain of taxes and government mandates imposed on Chicago businesses in recent years. They say it's death by a thousand cuts. They include a higher minimum wage, $838 million of property tax increases these businesses are paying for police, fire, and teacher pensions. They say disproportionately. There's an increase in the Cook County sales and hotel taxes. There's an ordinance requiring Chicago employers, large and small, to provide their employees with at least 5 paid sick days per year. Don't even get them started on the 7 cents on the bags that we now all have to pay. They say it's just making it hard to do business. Okay, let's pick up a couple of phone lines. You can get in 312-981-7200. Hey, Brian, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a pro at finding free bathrooms throughout the city. I'm an Uber driver.
Oh.
I don't want to waste time.
Yeah.
I want to be able to get in and out, and if I get any requests, it might be while I'm in the bathroom, but I can be back out to my car in a minute.
So what are the tips of the trade there, Brian?
What are the tips of the trade? You want to find a place that's not a single hole, if you know what I mean. There's more than one hole in there.
Yeah, sure.
More than one toilet.
Yeah.
So you can get in and out, find the places where you don't need a code, where you can just get in and out, and you can park your car close to where you're going in and out, and that's the secret.
Well, yeah, duh. But, I mean, stores. So do you have some store names or chains that are especially good to use?
Most any fast foods, like McDonald's,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Jewel's good for that. Some of the Jewels have multiple holes. Some just have the one.
Do all the grocery stores have multiple restrooms or public restrooms everybody gets to use?
No. No, they don't.
Well, you know, a lot of us use the McDonald's over the years, the way you just described. I mean, you know, you're driving down the interstate, and there's the Golden Arches, and you think, I'll get some coffee, but we all know why you're stopping there first. All right, thanks for the call, Brian. Well, an Uber driver would know. How about Patty? You're on WGN. Hi, Patty.
Hi, I'm so glad you're back on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm originally from Chicago, but having said that, I also have been driving for Uber at my age while I go back to school, and my biggest problem is, you know, I'm drinking a ton of water or coffee, and when I get runs to O'Hare or Midway, which is at least a couple times a week, there's nowhere to use a restroom. And I had actually gone into a Subway one time to use their restroom, and they had a sign on the door. And I asked them, why is this blocked? And they said, you can't use it.
You were all, and that was, you know, that's what got this going. It was a Subway outlet. It was a Subway store.
Well, and so I bought a sandwich. I was kind of mad because I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. Sorry, I'm a girl. We got to pee. And so I bought a sandwich, and then I went back there. He let me use the restroom, and I left, and I wasn't hungry. I was so mad. I was like, oh, I saw this guy standing outside that also was a homeless guy, or he was a homeless man. And he was trying to use the restroom, and they wouldn't let him use it. And he was hungry, and I just gave him my food. I said, look, I'm sorry they won't let you use it, but here.
It's kind of a pay toilet, isn't it? I mean, you got to buy a sandwich instead of just give them a fee.
Yeah, but I don't eat bread, so I was really kind of mad. I was actually at the Dunkin' Donuts that was on the other corner first to get a coffee, and they wouldn't let me use their restroom. I'm like, I'll go over to Subway, and that's how I ended up at Subway. I'm like, wait a minute. I just bought coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. And I have their app on my phone, so they obviously know I buy from them all the time, or from a Dunkin' Donuts all the time. And they're not going to let me use their restroom, and then I have to go over to a Subway because I'm going to end up having an accident if I don't. I kept thinking, I tell people that I drive all the time, it would be somebody would make a fortune if they would strategically place outhouses along the highway.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a series of stores. They won't sell donuts or sandwiches. They'll just be outhouses. There'll be luxurious travel bathrooms for tourists, homeless people, and Uber drivers, and talk show hosts or whatever. All right. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you joining us, Patty. It's 121. This is WGN. What happened on the new Fox TV show? It's not new, but it's got a new host and it's got a new slot. The Five has got people wagging their tongues today. We'll play for you this ridiculous audio, and you can decide what should happen next. It's about what Ivanka Trump said when she was in Germany. It's not critical of Ivanka in any way. We'll get to that in a little bit. On line one, this is Joe. You're on WGN. Hi, Joe.
Hi. There's already a law on the books in Illinois, but the state law is called Alley's Law, and it is for certain businesses. I think there's a square footage involved, but they have to allow people that have Crohn's, colitis, or irritable bowel syndrome to use a washroom, even if there's not a public washroom to be used.
I'm just looking at the law on this. Elif, my producer, looked it up when you called. It happened to a little girl named Allie. She and her mom were in a Chicago department store. She has Crohn's disease. They said, no, we won't let you use the restroom. She had an accident right there on the spot, and it was because of her illness. It's not like they were being irresponsible. It can well up very suddenly. And so they've changed the law in a lot of states because of that.
Yeah, a lot of states have followed after that. And, I suffer from Crohn's. And I'll tell you what, I think this is a great thing to pass. This should be nationwide. What'd you say? It was an alderman that's trying to get this passed. Is
yeah.
that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. This should be nationwide because for people that suffer from Crohn's and have this, not to be gross, but diarrhea, which is a very, very common thing in those people's lives. You know, this should be there should be some sort of a free pass for them because it's a rough thing to do. It's this type of thing is a fat life every day.
No, I've heard of Crohn's disease. I did not know that was part of the deal. And so what the alderman is proposing, while that's already state law, it falls under the Americans with Disabilities Act. He's saying he wants to make it a measure of convenience, too, not medical necessity. But I just had a couple coffees and I got to go. And he said businesses with public toilets or with toilets should have to make them public without those people having to make a purchase. Subway holding people up for the purchase of a sandwich is obnoxious, if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have to buy something in a store, what are you going to do? You've got an urgent need, and you're going to have to stand in line and purchase something? That's ridiculous.
I'm glad you're listening. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad you got in. I didn't know. We're learning something new today. I'd never heard of Alley's Law, the Restroom Access Act. Is it Emelina? This is John. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, it's Emily.
Hi, Emily.
I have multiple sclerosis, and availability of bathrooms is very important. So I know wherever I am, I know exactly where a bathroom is.
Huh.
Walgreens is a really good resource.
Yeah,
McDonald's,
yeah,
any sort of fast food. But, yeah, because, you know, a lot of times from point of, you know, urge to where you're going to have an accident can range from, you know, immediate to 5 to 10 minutes. So I'm always aware of where public bathrooms are because
that's amazing. Really, that's that's a function of having MS too, huh?
Yes. Well, it can be. It's not everyone suffers from that, but that's my particular issue.
But so so not to marginalize what you go through, but if we recognize what you go through as something that we need to accommodate, it's not your fault. I mean, good Lord, she's got MS or the guy has Crohn's disease. But at the end of the day, it's this. You really have to go to the bathroom now, and there's one right there. Now, if we accommodate you, so what about me? I don't have Crohn's disease or MS, but I really have my need at this instant could be every bit as urgent as yours. So why not?
Absolutely.
Why not accommodate me?
Absolutely. I've always sort of understood the restriction on bathrooms, especially in the city, having to do with, and I could be wrong, it may have just been an assumption on my part, having to do with homeless people kind of monopolizing the space or, you know, creating a problem. I'm not sure about that. That was always my assumption. But I generally look to large chains and just sort of, you know, and in a dire emergency, I just ask. And usually people are pretty gracious and allow you to use the bathroom.
I'm glad you called. Thanks for giving us the heads up.
Yep.
Take care. Where do we go next there, Ms. Garris? She said to over on Joe. You're on WGN. Hi, Joe.
Hi, I think she got me I think she thought I was someone else.
Why?
Because she said, I'm sorry I hung up on you, but she didn't hang up on me. But anyway, all I want to pass on is the fact that for the Apple phone or any smartphone, there's an app called Public Toilets.
Really?
And it just shows you where you are and where the closest public toilet is.
This is the best news. I don't care what we do on this radio station this week. Nothing will be more helpful than this call.
I'm putting it on my phone right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Solve the problem for millions of people.
Hold on. I'm doing it right now.
What's it called?
And by the way, I'm doing it right now. I mean, I'm going to the app store. I'm not. So what is the what's the app called?
It's called Public Toilets.
Search. Hold on a second. P-U-B-L-I-C.
Yeah, don't misspell that.
Stand by. Public toilets in Paris offline. 100,000 public toilets pro. Hong Kong public toilets. Ooh, let's click there. Or not. I'll just click on public toilets. So now I'll get all the apps to do that. There it is. Wow. Look at that. Okay. Okay. Hey, listen, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Joe. It's 1:31. This is WGN. By the way, I've been working on this app since you last spoke to me.
Any luck?
Public Toilets. I now have the app on my phone. Free Public Toilets. You're right. It starts in Zurich. The home page, the home screen for this is Zurich. So I guess it's a European one.
It must be a European one. I wonder if they have a U.S. version.
Well, so then I just sort of kept minimizing the map so that I had Earth, and then I rolled over to the Western Hemisphere and then zeroed in on Chicago, which is always kind of a cool thing to do. But I don't know. This is not a well-developed app. The settings are messed up, and you should be able to just type in your address or your zip code, and then it would tell you, hey, there's a McDonald's here. There's a Starbucks there.
I wonder if you can Yelp bathrooms.
Well, frankly, I'm not real comfortable being in this whole world of public restrooms and commentary. For instance, Public Toilets wants to send me push notifications. I don't want to hear from them.
No pun intended.
I know. I've already got a push notification, and it's mine. Okay? So you don't need to talk to me. I just need to talk to you. Put the little toilet symbols on the map, and I'll find one near me. Please, don't. I'm not interested in a chat room or a web of intrigue because I don't want to go there. I just want a clean restroom. So I can't tell you that this is a great app, the one I have on my phone. But there it sits, Public Toilets. But I'll bet if you surf around, that would be a good thing for the Uber driver or a person with Crohn's disease
or anybody. If you're just sitting on the toilet.
Say it again?
If you're just sitting on the toilet, it's a good thing to look around for the toilet app.
Well, you've got some time. Well, it said like, you could even indicate where your favorites were. And I guess that's valuable to somebody. But I think if I'm using this app, I'm not going to be real picky. I need a bathroom right now. So Ivanka Trump was speaking in Berlin, and we've all heard a little bit of the news about that. She was speaking at a women's conference, and there they were all across the stage. And Ivanka began to say things that were in defense of her father's treatment of people, particularly women. And as she did that, this happened.
He's been a tremendous champion of supporting families and enabling them to thrive in the new reality of...
Well, there's another European thing I'm not used to. Here we would boo or stand up and say, "You lie!" But there they hiss. It's, I don't know, creepier. It seems more sinister to me. Play it again, Elif. This is what happens in Europe if you say something they don't want to hear.
He's been a tremendous champion of supporting families and enabling them to thrive in the new reality of...
And then they asked her about it later in that session. They said, "Okay, now you heard the reaction." And she said, "I'm used to people in the media reacting negatively to my father and our family, blah, blah, blah." But what they were doing very specifically was commenting on her statement that her dad... Well, just play it one more time, Elif, if you can.
He's been a tremendous champion of supporting families and enabling them to thrive in the new reality of...
I mean, think about that. That's so weird. Our instinct in America is not to go hiss.
But I
agree.
They
do that. That is so weird.
It's creepy.
It is. And now it's a cultural thing, I suppose. That is, they probably find our boo as offensive or rude or weird. You know, they weren't raised the way we were. But the notion that I would sit there and go, like a snake.
Is taunting her.
I know. It really, to me, seems even more dismissive or painful.
And usually Europeans are more proper, too, and that just does not seem proper. It doesn't fit the mold.
Well, in England, when they agree with somebody in the parliament, don't they pound the chair or table or something?
They stand up.
Yeah. I get the differences here. But that one struck me as odd. But I was not shocked that they would react negatively to what she was saying, right? I mean, whenever the Trumps pack their bags, they know they're probably going to run into some landmines along the way. And a statement that my dad is a champion of families might be met with some hostility. So she can't be too surprised about what happened. But this is what's surprising to me. So now that Bill O'Reilly is out at Fox, they've got this show, The Five, where three beautiful women and two good enough looking men sit around and talk about current events. It's a popular show on that channel. I watch it every single day. And what happened? Since Riley is out, they've got a new host, this Jesse Waters guy. And they've got, I think, a new time slot. So his second night driving the bus, they were talking a little bit about this Ivanka Trump thing. And here's what happened.
"And I always thought the Europeans were supposed to be so sophisticated and well-mannered. And now they're treating this like it's a soccer match. I don't understand what's going on. I think Ivanka is supposed to be the moderating voice for her father. So I think people in Europe should support that. I don't know why also saying that, you know, my father respects families is controversial. I mean, he's probably hired a ton of fathers and mothers and children. So I don't really get what's going on here. But I really liked how she was speaking into that microphone.
So then they move on. Dana, and they ask Dana Perino another question. Nobody paused to catch the reference, but this is the internet now. I mean, you know, it was on TV, but in this day and age, everything's online, and so people have gone back and looked at it. Well, you're, what?
It's at 9 p.m., by the way.
It's at 9 p.m., mm-hmm. Yeah, so they moved it from, I think it was on 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. It was on in the afternoon because, I was sitting in my studio, and it was always up on the monitor. And now they've put that show. And by the way, the show, I think, is a pretty good show. It's just a round table chat. It's a horseshoe you're looking at, and they're all splayed around it. But, for instance, Kimberly Guilfoyle, who is one of the most gorgeous women on TV, is always on the front seat on the left-hand side, wagging her legs because she's just beautiful. And if anybody knows how to sell beauty, it's Fox News. The women look glamorous and the lip gloss is on and the hair is shiny. And wow, do they sell the sizzle on that show, right? So, and in fact, they've even talked about it. There have been times where they make references to her legs. Just recently, they got into an argument and she then tightened her dress around her form and said, "How about this?" I mean, we get it and they get it and everybody seems to be cool with that. So we don't need to talk about that. So maybe that's why this Waters guy felt that it was not completely out of keeping for him to, on this show, say something like this. But when Ivanka was speaking in Berlin, she's up on the stage there and she has a wireless long microphone in her hand and she's putting it up to her mouth. As she's speaking, that's what you do with a microphone. And after defending her and her father and saying that he's a champion of families and he's a good guy, he then says, besides, I like the way she was holding the microphone. Okay, you get what that's all about. And so the media and Twitter are busting on this guy 2 days in. If anybody in the world should be circumspect, it would be anybody on camera at Fox. How can you be so dumb as to make an oral sex joke your second day on the job as the host on Fox? The radar is up. Everybody's paying attention to that. You dope, how do you think you even have that job? Because they threw somebody else out for sexual harassment. So there he's making an oral sex joke. At least that's sure the way it looked and sounded to me. He says it was nothing of the sort. He said that he said on air, I was referring to Ivanka's voice and how it resonates like a smooth jazz radio DJ. This was in no way a joke about anything else. I can't even get through that. That's his, the poor guy, he's screwed. What am I going to do? He goes back and he says, I like the way she was holding the mic. And you look at the video and you know exactly what he's talking about. And so then he goes, I know. I'll say that she was holding the mic up close to her face. And then with that great voice of hers, she was, quote, it resonates like a smooth jazz radio DJ. That's his only hope to survive this moment. And that's all he's got. Or he could have done this. He could have said, wow, second day on the job. I had the jitters and I said something that I should not have said. Blah, blah, blah. Something like that. There is a way for him to maybe save himself on this. And it's the truth. Instead, he wants you to believe that he was thinking what a great voice she has, just like a smooth jazz radio DJ. Holy cow. It's 1:49. Tom, this is John. Thanks for calling in. My number, by the way, is 312-981-7200. What's up, Tom?
Hey, I just heard you say that your interpretation of what that guy was referring to on the five, I think he wasn't referring to oral sex at all. It didn't even cross my mind. An ounce of energy of that it was talking about oral sex didn't even cross my mind. I thought he was talking about maybe like a fashionable singer, Beyonce or Diana Ross or someone on stage just being fashionable. You know, I had no idea that he was talking about oral sex. And that's why I think half the country was shocked with Trump's victory. People live in an alternate reality than the other half of the people, 50% of the country.
Did you see it live? Did you see it in real time?
What? I saw the clip of it. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
so you saw the replay. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the replay, and it didn't even shock me. I didn't think. Then when people started talking about it, I go, "Wow, people! I wonder if people just draw those conclusions based on their political affiliation." And the Trump supporters don't see it that way, and then the anti-Trump people see it that way, and it's just like we're both in two different realities.
I get what you're saying. Although in this case, I'm here to defend Ivanka. For instance, I mean, actually, we're not even talking about Ivanka. We're really just talking about this one guy.
Right.
And, boy, I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't know that this is commentary about me, but when I heard that, I thought, and I like the show, I think they do a fine job over there on that program, but I thought, wow, what a mistake, what a huge gaffe.
I didn't see it like that at all. I thought, it didn't cross my mind. Now it does, because I'm
saying, oh. Sorry about that, Tom. Now, it's these dirty talk show hosts that are ruining it for everybody.
Okay.
All right, thanks. All right. What's the matter, Olive? We'll go from Tom to, let's see here. Hey, Fred, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Let me play the soundbite one more time here, just so we all know what we're talking about here. This is on the 5. They've got a new host. They put him in a new time. It's 9 o'clock Eastern, by the way, 8 o'clock Central. And on this roundtable show, they were talking about how Ivanka was up on the stage. She was holding the microphone. You know what you do when you hold a microphone. You put that thing up by your mouth. And that guy said this. Breaker, breaker, Olaf. Play it.
So I don't really get what's going on here, but I really liked how she was speaking into that microphone.
Dana, what do you...
And then, Dana, they go on to the next thing. So they didn't get it if it was a joke, or they weren't offended if they understood it. So that's where that is. Fred, this is John. So what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Well, my comment was that, you know, it's kind of echoing the other person that was just on. It's kind of in how you think about it. And a good example of that is WGN has Nick DiGiulio on, and he every Friday night he has this thing called Out of Context, where he picks up things from different radio stations, and they, you know, he makes them, they sound dirty to him.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily. So
no, that's,
you can't get in somebody's mind.
No, I guess, I guess you can. I know the bit you're talking about, but Nick's very clear. It's like he's making funny, kind of dirty jokes. That's the bit. And
well,
when you see this guy's face.
He thinks it sounds dirty. You thought that way. It may not have been an oral sex thing. Who knows? You can't get in someone's mind. And I'll hang up and let you comment.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's you judging his intent and me judging his intent. You know what I also have, though, is when you watch it, the visual cue. He's smiling. He's smiling like a sophomore in high school who just told a really dirty joke, and he knows he's going to get some plaudits because it was pretty funny, and I like how she's holding the microphone. That's what he's. He's got that big, fat, wasn't I funny smile on his face, not the I thought she sounded like a smooth jazz DJ face. Now, that's me reading this man's mind, and you can read it differently. What's up?
I was just telling you, you have 10 seconds, but I agree with you. The arbitrariness of his comment is telling.
Well, yeah, because he didn't reference it in any other way. They weren't talking about how her voice sounds. I mean, if he was saying she sounds like a smooth jazz radio DJ,
he would say her delivery was great.
Right. There would have been something else in the text of that that would have made you. He didn't say her voice. He said how she's holding. Okay, so I'm done.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Well, that's ambitious.
Here's John Williams.
Mm-hmm. The average American should have simple taxes.
Well, I'm all for that. Thank you, Mr. Mnuchin.
Lord have mercy.
210 WGN, John Williams here. By the way, before we go forward with the tax plan, day two, and there are winners and there are losers. The New York Times has a good piece about that today. We'll ask them to break that down for us. But before we do that, a couple of you pointed out to producer Elif during the news break that where I was characterizing the comments by that guy on Fox News on the 5, I was characterizing Jesse Waters' comments as, see how he said the way she's holding the microphone. I said he wasn't talking about her voice, but he was trying to say, no, I was referencing her voice like a smooth jazz DJ. I found that preposterous. And Elif said, well, plenty of you said, no, wait a minute. He didn't say hold the microphone. Here's what he said.
So I don't really get what's going on here, but I really liked how she was speaking into that microphone.
I really liked how she was speaking into that microphone. So that's a point for you if you think, yeah, that's really about the voice. I still stand by what I said, but yeah, I mischaracterized his words. He didn't say the way she holds the microphone. He said the way she speaks into the microphone. So thank you for that. I stand corrected. It's 2:11 on WGN. This is John Williams on a phone line. Neil Irwin is the senior economics correspondent at the New York Times. Hey, Neil, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me.
By the way, I want you guys to write a story about how a major media personality said I was wrong. And the mainstream media. I don't know if that'll make headlines or not, but I didn't get that
honestly
exactly.
Media.
Yeah, no kidding. So winners and losers in the Trump tax plan. You know, yesterday, Neil, we spent time on this show in this segment talking about it, but literally just kind of reading it for the first time. You could have done it. It's just a page. But looking at the broad outlines, in the 24-hour sense, you all have had a chance to say, okay, if that comes to fruition, here's who wins, here's who loses, right?
That's right. And, you know, it is just a single page of bullet points we got. I mean, those of us who have covered policy for a while are used to the White House when they have a policy idea putting out, you know, dozens and dozens of pages of talking points and white papers, that sort of thing. But we do have some bullet points. We have been able to analyze them and understand what direction Trump at least wants to go on taxes if he gets his way.
Can you characterize it that way? I mean, is there a direction on this? What's the overarching view of this plan?
So the big components are cutting the corporate income tax rate from its current 35% to 15%. That's a huge tax cut for businesses. I think a lot of corporations in the U.S. feel like they're overtaxed. The rates are much higher than in other countries. So that's a big win for, if that were to happen, that's a big win for the corporate sector. It does lower the top rate on individuals from almost 40% to 35%. And it eliminates the estate tax. So it would get rid of this tax that applies to families that pass away with more than, for a married couple, $11 million in wealth. So there, even though we don't know a lot of details, again, it isn't the kind of elaborate white paper that you might expect. We do have some clear ideas of what the president wants.
Well, at least two of those would benefit wealthy people, right?
Yes, and they would definitely benefit the president himself. I mean, he's a wealthy man, and I'm sure his kids would like to be able to get an inheritance one day that doesn't have an estate tax on it. Same with pass-through income, how the plan treats income from corporate entities that aren't even corporations like LLCs. So definitely some things that are there for the president and his family.
That was an education for me today, that most American companies are pass-throughs. The income is funneled through an individual's income taxes, and they do that for tax reasons, and that's the majority of the cases. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about smaller businesses, going through all the process of a corporation, having shareholders, that sort of thing, is very complicated. A lot of fairly big companies, law firms, all kinds of medical practices, certainly applies to. And any kind of small business, people who are an independent contractor, you're technically a small business. If you're at a job where you're not a salaried employee but an independent contractor, you too are a small business in your own way.
And the Trump, the Trump empire is largely regarded as a pass-through. Is that correct?
It is. If you look at his financial disclosure form, hundreds and hundreds of LLCs and other corporate entities that are the vehicle through which he controls his various branding assets, his real estate assets, all kinds of things. And it's very much the case. It's funny, the Trump Organization is not so much a single company as this constellation of all these hundreds of different entities that do different business lines, different properties, different countries.
I'll make a political statement. You can comment it on if you like or not. But I think how this impacts the president personally and his companies is a distraction. If he benefits or doesn't, that's almost beside the point to me. More important is, how does it affect all of us? So breaking down whether or not Trump has an agenda personally here, to me, I don't think is that important to conversation.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I mean, he is one man in a country of 320 million people, and what we want is a tax code that creates stronger growth, that creates a stable fiscal situation, that encourages the U.S. to live up to its economic potential. I think most people would say, and if that tax code happens to result in a favorable treatment for him, fine. I think the question is this that plan? And I think there's some real questions of whether this plan would actually generate the kind of growth that the administration is promising, and what would it do to the budget deficit? And I think the answer is it would enlarge it a great deal.
Unless the growth is as they hope. I mean, is that the nut here? This thing makes sense if we grow the economy 4.5%, 5%, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the assumptions you have to make to get to that kind of growth are just not really plausible to any, even conservative-leaning groups that run this math. Even groups that do find some pro-growth benefit from especially corporate tax cuts, some of the stuff in this plan, they don't see those growth benefits as being so great as to pay for the revenue loss. So that implies one of two things. It means, so one estimate that came out yesterday is around $5.5 trillion that this would increase the debt over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So the question is, even if you think it's lower than that because of these growth effects, are you willing to accept that? And is that something that could crowd out other investment that could actually have long-term damaging impacts on the U.S. economy?
Sure, you heard Secretary Mnuchin dismiss that. He said, I believe it was him who said, how can they make that estimate when they don't even know the details of the plan?
I mean, it's a fair point, and these are kind of sketchy estimates based on the little fragments we have. The funny thing is that the Trump campaign back in October did release a more detailed version of a tax plan. This one is kind of a follow-on to that and builds on that. That one you were able to analyze in a more detailed way, run through these models that different groups have built over the years, and that one also showed a deficit increasing the debt by several trillion dollars even after accounting for growth effects. I mean, the problem is they kind of want us to take on faith that there will be this this huge pro-growth effect out of these policies. But A, they don't want to lay out what the policies are or show us their own modeling of why they believe that to be the case. That being the case, it's just hard to believe that's really plausible.
I guess so, but I don't want to give up on the notion that growth means less taxes or that, you know, one will help the other. That is, I'd like to think that if we grow the economy enough, we'll throw off enough income that we'll be able to pay for programs and not sink us further into debt. I don't want to give up on that notion myself.
Well, I mean, it's all about degrees. I mean, you can say that cutting a certain tax will have a pro-growth effect without saying that that pro-growth effect is so strong that it pays for itself. You know, ultimately, you know, most of the analytics, most of the math, most of the, you know, history that we've seen on this for many, many years shows that even if you do find some pro-growth effects, they're not big enough to pay for the entire thing. Then you have to think about either you're going to tolerate a higher budget deficit or you're going to find other programs that you can cut to make up for the revenue shortfall.
In your winner's list on a phone line is Neil Irwin. He's the senior economics correspondent at the New York Times. You say, okay, businesses with high taxes, because if they go from 35 to 15, I get it. But they may not come out 20 points ahead on this, right? I mean, they're going to lose a lot of deductions, correct?
That's right. Although, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, the administration has said they would eliminate some deductions, but they haven't specified any of those. So that's kind of a big asterisk on this entire plan. And you know, the 35% rate that is technically the statutory corporate income tax rate now, most companies don't actually pay that. They end up finding deductions, finding different ways to pay a lower rate. So that's not as much of a windfall as it might look like at first glance. You know, that said, is there, you know, I think even a lot of Democrats, you know, the President Obama was open to cutting the corporate income tax rate. I believe his number was 28%, and offsetting that with eliminating deductions. That said, to get to 15 without blowing out the deficit, you have to find a lot of deductions, and any of the companies benefiting from those are going to fight it hard.
You also, I didn't know that there's a 3.8% tax for, I guess, wealthier people. That is, if you have investment income, you wrote over $250,000 for a couple, you pay 3.8% as a tax on that to help fund Obamacare?
That's right. This was one of the tax provisions of the health law. In fact, the Republicans wanted to get rid of that. That was part of the health, the Obamacare repeal bill that they were talking about a couple of months ago that failed.
Right.
That was a big element of that, is getting rid of these taxes that are built into the Affordable Care Act to pay for it, that really are effectively, you know, this surcharge, this extra tax on wealthier people and investment income.
Yeah, but if I make $100,000 a year, if I don't have all of this investment income being thrown off, I'm not paying that 3.8. That's just for the high end folks, huh?
That's right. That's correct. Right.
Okay. So high income earners lose that. And then obviously the top bracket goes down from 39.6 to 35. So that has to be a net gain for them there, right?
It does. That's the most simplistic thing to analyze. If you're, I believe the current level for a married couple is like $470,000. Above that, you're paying almost 40% in income tax. That would come down to 35 under the president's plan. Below that, we don't really know. They laid out a simplified, you know, three tax brackets, but they did not specify where those brackets would phase in and out. So for somebody who's making, you know, a lower, a moderate amount of income, it's hard to know exactly whether you'd pay more taxes or less under this plan because of its vagueness at this stage.
I'll just pick one other thing that you mentioned on the winner's side, and that is, I think we already talked about it, multimillionaires who want to pass money on to their heirs tax-free because they're going to eliminate the death or estate tax. That's a great philosophical conversation, right? Should the government, just because you have a lot of money and are passing it along to your heirs, at that point, should they be able to put their hands on it or not? Some of us think they should. Some of us think they should not. I mean, lucky those people, but I still don't think it's my money to take, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. I mean, I understand where people are coming from and passions run high on it. I mean, the argument that you're stating, it's you know, it's valid. It's this money's been taxed before. Why shouldn't I be able to give it to my heirs without, you know, paying the tax man one more time? On the other hand, you know, if I go out and work hard and earn money, I have to pay taxes on that. But if, you know, somebody who has passed on gives it to me, suddenly I don't have to pay taxes on it because it's part of an estate. It gets into some questions of, you know, what you believe is fair and what you believe is a kind of just way to run the tax system.
What about people who make between $50,000 and $100,000 or whatever we gauge middle income? I suppose it's about $51,000. What about those folks?
Well, it's going to be hard to know that unless until we get more details. There are some elements of this plan that definitely help people in those middle-income brackets. In fact, the administration is portraying this as a middle-class tax cut, though, again, we don't really have enough detail to know for whom that would be the case. It does double the standard deduction, so it does create a kind of bigger floor for people who would have to pay no tax at all. And then it has some components that can cut either way. So we don't know exactly where those different tax brackets will phase in and out. There's also a provision to get rid of the state and local income tax deduction. And that's if you're somebody in a state with fairly high state taxes, that actually is a very valuable deduction you have right now. This plan would get rid of that. So how that all nets out, higher standard deduction, changes to the rates, changes to the brackets, getting rid of that deduction, that's a big question. So for any given family, we'd need a lot more detail in this plan to know whether your taxes would fall or even rise.
Well, here's another political comment you can comment on if you like, Neil, but I think we completely miss the mark if we don't reduce the tax burden for people between, I don't know, the people making zero don't pay taxes anyway, and the lowest levels, they get money back. But if we don't help out the people under $107,000, pick a number, then we've missed an opportunity here. They need relief.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a good case for that. One issue is there's a lot of those people. You know, there's a lot more people making under $100,000 than there are in these kind of upper, you know, tippy-top brackets that we were talking about earlier. And so if you try and create meaningful relief for, say, you know, people making under $100,000, you know, you do get into something that is very costly in terms of lost revenue for the government,
right,
potentially blowing out the budget deficit.
Finally, upper-middle-income people in blue states. Among the losers, you said, people who want Congress to pass something. Yeah, I get it. Deficit hawks. Interesting. And you said the people that might not like this are upper middle income people in blue states. Why do you say that?
Right. So that state and local income tax deduction I was just mentioning, the people who really are in the sweet spot of benefiting from that are, you know, if you're in a state with high state or local taxes, New York, California, certainly, Connecticut, you know, these are states where you're paying a lot to your state. And under current law, you get to deduct what you pay, say, if you live in Connecticut, what you pay the government and the Connecticut state government, you get to deduct that from your federal tax burden. This would eliminate that deduction. So that makes the effective burden of those state taxes much higher. And that especially phases in if you're in that kind of upper middle income bracket, you know, around $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. That can be a pretty major cost.
By the way, when I get to be king, all college expenses will be 100% deductible from your income taxes.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Listen, Neil, nice to talk to you. Well done. I hope you can join us again.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That's Neil Irwin. He is a writer at the New York Times. He is their senior economics correspondent. And he chuckled when I said, I want to be king. Kim, you know how we were talking about how much that Dr. Dow's injury should be worth?
Mm-hmm.
They said they've settled, as you told us in the news, but we're not going to find out. Hi, it's John Williams. This is WGN Radio. Ever Ready Elif, the producer, did find a personal injury settlement calculator.
And the grand total would be?
Well, I don't know. But here's what you do. You take medical expenses, property damage, lost earnings. The doctor probably is missing days of work and income. Then future lost income. What will the long-term impacts be? Estimated future medical expenses. And then there's a multiplier for general damages. So you take that, get a number that's relevant to or relative to your pain and suffering, multiply that by all that other stuff, and then you've got economic damages and non-economic damages, and you put it all in a bucket, and you come up with a number. There is an actual calculator for it, so it's not as random as I was making it sound, like, what do you think it's worth? But I think it might be a little bit that, because whatever the number is, say that number came to $67,000, and you go, yeah, but United, they got 67. I'm going for a million. I mean, I could see them doing that too, right?
Right. Well, and the other thing too is, you know, in this whole process, he could have a lot of future economic damages because, you know, there were some things released about him, especially as a doctor,
oh,
that makes
right.
a lot of people maybe not want to go to him as a doctor.
Totally. That's right.
You can add that in as well.
He had a lot of charges against him himself that he wishes weren't on the front page of the New York Times.
Exactly.
Okay, so then that's something.
I'd say that's a lot.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. I think the only way to figure out really what this poor man should get is the way we do all things now on social media. If you text to 312-981-7200, you're on the jury. How much do you return? How much do you give Dr. Dow? Just shoot the number to Elif. She'll add them up, divide by the total we get. 312-981-7200. So Kim's going to send in 5 million. Elif, put me down for 1.3. I think that's about right. But maybe you could say zero. You could say 75 bucks, whatever you want. You're on the jury. You're all sitting there drinking coffee. How much are you going to give to Dr. Dow? We'll add them up and see what we get. Divide, do the average. It's 240 on WGN. Alderman David Moore's on the phone line. I don't suppose you want to play that game, do you, Alderman? Is that why we've got you on the phone here?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Correct answer. The Alderman's on a phone line. I asked if you wanted to tell us how much you think Dr. Dow should get for his pain, suffering, and general injuries.
No, I don't have that special calculator, so I always...
David, we called you because of a story we were talking about earlier, and that's based on something you saw at a Subway restaurant. How long, though, have you been on the city council? You're in the 17th ward. How long have you been on the Chicago City Council?
May 18th will make 2 years.
So relatively new, huh?
To city council, but not to the issues that's going on within the city.
Yeah. What's the first thing a person notices when they're actually, though, a member of the city council? Was there something that surprised you? I mean, you're no rookie here, but say you're just now in the big seat. What stood out to you?
I guess for me, what stood out to me is that we limit ourselves as council members. It's supposed to be a strong council, weak mayor setup, if you will, and we limit ourselves to that, which could better benefit the constituents of the of Chicago as a whole.
You think they kowtow too much to the mayor?
They do something that's not beneficial, whatever you want to call it, whether it's kowtow or whatever you call it. They're doing something that's not, I believe, not beneficial to the city as a whole.
You sure tried? Sure. Well, I asked. Thank you for that. So I asked, you were at a Subway restaurant the other day, right?
That's correct.
And as I understand it, there was a woman there that had to use the bathroom right now. They said, you have to buy a sandwich. She said, I will after I get out. They said, no, you have to do it first. And she couldn't wait any longer and lost it right there in the restaurant. You came upon the scene, saw her distressed. Pick it up from there. What did you ask her? What happened then?
I just saw a lady in there crying, and, you know, I was walking in there to purchase something, and I just, as a concerned person, I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, I told them I would buy something. I told them, and at first I didn't see, you know, I just noticed her crying. I did not see any water, if you will, or down on the floor there. And then I said, what's going on? She said, I had to use the bathroom really bad. I was on my way to work. I just got off the aisle. And they said I had to buy something. I told them I will. I just got to go. They said you got to buy something now. And as I was going through my purse, I just couldn't hold it any longer. And so she was trying to go through her purse. I don't carry a purse, but I've seen women trying to go through their purse, and it could be a challenge sometimes. And it was just an emergency for her. And then as I've gotten this story out and presented this, I'm hearing more just stories just worse than that with children. Going on themselves, even in, you know, not number one, but number two, you know, because the mother couldn't get the money out of time or didn't have the money.
So you've proposed an ordinance that says, quote, any licensee that provides public toilet facilities to its customers must allow individuals who have an emergency and need to use the toilet facilities to do so without having to make a purchase, and a fee cannot be charged for the use of the toilet facilities under these circumstances. Most businesses do have facilities for their customers. If you're shopping in there, they'll say, yeah, you can go right here. You're saying that they have to make that free of charge to anybody in the public.
If there's an emergency, not just to anybody in the
public. How do you define an emergency, Alderman?
If there's an emergency. Huh. I mean, I think people come in and I don't think right now people are just coming in and saying, lying and saying, I really got to go to the bathroom, it's an emergency, when it's not. People are not abusing it now. I'm downtown a lot. I see people, the Walgreens, both in the city, south side and downtown, have open facilities. There's many other stores that do too. It's just, I think a few of them just take advantage of the fact that they, you know, they don't just let some let people in if they're not purchasing anything.
Yeah. Well, you see those signs all the time. This is, you know, this is not a public washroom, or it's for customers only is how they put it. So, and I've heard from people, we talked about this in the beginning of the show, who have run into Subways and run into this very problem. Dunkin' Donuts, I maybe shouldn't call out franchises by name because some of them do, some of them don't, but I've heard that this is not uncommon. People run into that. And I think a lot of us, when we were in that situation, we go, okay, I got to buy a donut, you know, and we buy a donut so we can use the restroom. You would kind of circumvent that process for people.
And I've done that as well. But again, the lady was, I think I would even be here if people would have used common judgment. And just, I don't think the woman would have said, aha, I used the bathroom, I'm not going to buy nothing now. I just don't think she would have done that. Or, you know, she's just got off the L on her way to work. And I think we wouldn't be here if common courtesy would have been used. And it wasn't. But what's blowing my mind is what I didn't see coming out of this is when I was on other radio stations, seniors calling in. And for seniors to hear seniors saying that they stay at home and don't come out because they sometimes have to go to the bathroom and there are no bathrooms quickly available to them because of this situation. Man, that blew me away. I never thought of that. That people are actually staying. Some seniors are actually staying home because they have they may have to go to the bathroom. I wouldn't want my mom or my grandmother to be in that situation.
What about a store that doesn't serve food though? So there's I'm sitting on Michigan Avenue. There's a Coach bag store where you buy nice purses. If I had to use the restroom and I was buying a purse, I'll bet they'd let me. If I'm not going to buy a purse, can I walk into the Coach bag store and do they have to let me use the bathroom there?
Well, I don't know if Coach at this point have public restrooms. Any Coach store I've been to in the past didn't have a public restroom. Right. And so most of those are in water tower places or in high places that have a public facility that
people
can
go to. Okay, but you understand my point, though. I may have picked the wrong store there, but if it's not obvious that that would have a public restroom, but it might, you're not saying that it's only for food stores. It's
not only because Walgreens is just not a food store,
right,
although they sell
right.
food. It's not just a food store. No, it's for any business that have a public restroom. And people are selling the normal person kind of short on this. People are not looking to take advantage of this. People didn't even know this law didn't exist.
Yeah.
A lot of people they usually go into places that they think has one. You know, and so I don't think people are out here trying to take advantage of the situation or of some store or cause havoc in stores. And people, just like anywhere else, where you allow anything for the public, you still got to use your judgment. And so your judgment can still be applied there.
You know, I brought this up earlier in the show, and I thought people were going to say, this is ridiculous. There goes the city telling businesses how to run their businesses again. Now you're going to have every Tom, Dick, and Harry coming in there, and some of them are going to do God knows what in there, and I got to clean it up. Thanks a lot, City of Chicago. I thought that's what I would hear. I didn't hear any of that. I mostly heard from people like you who think those businesses should have to offer it for free to the public at large. That's the only kind of call I took.
Yes. And you know what? I've heard the other side, and I've heard from this. I want to hear from businesses. You know, this thing is not a forced thing. I'm a very friendly, business-friendly person. And so if we got to find some common ground here or whatever, that they can help me with the language if we need to do something, you know, better to assure their comfort with it, I'm willing to do that. But at the end of the day, again, going back to that lady standing there crying, humiliated, you just can't imagine just the humiliation. And so, my gosh, I just couldn't be silent about it.
One last question, David. What are you hearing from the other aldermen?
I had 26 other aldermen to sign off on it with me. There's a the others that I didn't ask all 50 because I was trying to introduce it in the last council, but some of the ones I did ask who didn't sign said, well, just let me look at it and ask, you know, some more questions about it and do my due diligence and things like that. But I had 26 other aldermen to sign on with me for a total of 27.
One last question. What happens to Wrigley Field? So then the critics go, okay, St. Patrick's Day, thanks a lot, Chicago, or Wrigley Field, 40,000 beer drinkers all exit at the same time. Are there any special situations where they wouldn't have to comply, or how do you handle that?
Okay, and that issue was addressed to me. Again, you know, people, that's why I want to work with the business, work with anybody on this. You know, people leaving those stadiums, they're bypassing the restroom. They knew they had to go to the bathroom then. And if they're going, most people are going into bars anyway and drinking and using those public facilities. So it's even just not about the game. It's about people, you know, probably already at that bar. And people have to use there's a common sense element here too, and there's a business decision here as well. When you see a crowd of people, you know you can't accommodate that, and anybody will stand with that. And I don't think we're going to be seeing lawsuits where I was with 600 of my buddies, we had used the bathroom really bad, and I'm suing the city because they wouldn't let me. I don't think a judge would even consider that.
One last question, Tom. What did you want to ask? You're on WGN.
Yeah. Who's going to reimburse the business owners for the toilet paper, the soap, and the maintenance of the washroom? Let's just ask the ultimate man. I'd like to know the answer.
Okay, keep listening. Thanks.
The same people like me or anybody else that's already spending money constantly at your establishment, and I probably come there all the time, but just today I was walking past there and had to use the bathroom, and you turned me away today when I've been spending hundreds and thousands of dollars at your place for the past I don't know how many years. So that's the same person that's going to be paying for it.
Alderman, good luck to you. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
Alderman David Moore, the 17th Ward. It's 251. You can get in edgewise here if you like. By the way, Elif, are you also working on the math assignment?
Yes, and I have an answer for you.
Okay, stay right there.
Okay.
If you are on the jury, how much does Dr. Dow get? We said text your number to 312-981-7200. Elif averages them out. What's the average settlement going to be? Okay, so Elif, what's the number people think Dr. Dow should get from United?
So the average is $1,956,250.06.
Wait a minute, $1,919,000. So just about 2 million. Wow.
And we had 36 jurors, by the way.
36 jurors are now going to agree to give $2 million to Dr. Dow. Judy, how much would you give to the doctor for being dragged off the aeroplane?
He gets to fly free forever on any airline but United.
Yeah. Roe, how much do you give Dr. Dow?
I give him free baggage on his next two flights is what I give him.
Not $2 million?
No, because he did not cooperate with law enforcement when they arrived on the plane.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a lot of people in my parade.
No, and now this is a very short parade because people just got like overly. He was asked to leave. He started to, according to the police report now, you know, and again, we can question everything, right? But he was flailing at them. You make contact with a police officer. You make contact with a police officer in Chicago, and someone's going to get dragged. It's just going to happen. You're not going to you're not going to look the same, at least for the next 2 weeks, that you did at that right the moment before.
Usually they drag you to the morgue. He was actually able to get back on the plane.
Yeah.
And then
he hugged the plane. I mean, the whole thing was very odd. I'm not.
Which is why they settled.
I'm not Team Dow.
How much do you think he got? What do you think he got? You and I are playing hardball.
He got a couple million.
I'll bet you he got seven figures.
Yeah, I bet you got about
only because of the bad PR. It's like United does not want this to drag. He could have asked for $10 million.
They can ask him to do a video about how it's good to be dragged off an airplane because he paid him an extra million just to do that. How he enjoyed it. It was good for him. Maybe I mean, I don't know. I can't. Did you see the video that the CEO did?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's an eating it video. I mean, the thing is, when you stop and you think about this, first of all, that rabbit. I mean, who knows? It was a 4-foot-tall rabbit. Those things can die. And then you got this, and then the leggings thing. I was Team United on that.
Hold on. Your show hasn't started yet.
Sorry.
It's 2:57. Hi, Anna DeVontis. How are you?
Hi, John Williams.
Rose in the studio.
Rose here.
Yeah, Rose.
I've already started. I took over the last 15 minutes of John's show. I just came in and just started screaming at him.
Okay, I suppose. Was that okay with you, John?
I invited him in. How much do you give Dr. Dow? How much do you give?
Ooh, I don't know. Well, you got to know it's at least $10,000 because that's how much they're willing to go up for a seat now.
That is a very generous offer.
I know.
Well, that's still getting drunk and being obnoxious on my next flight.
Where's my $10,000?
I will give it up only if you give me $10,000.
I'm actually going to make reservations on the next fully booked flight.
All right. I'm gonna
just
look for
so I can be the guy. All right, I'll get out of your way, Ro, but sounds like you're...
Let's see, we got a lot. So Mr. Spels is going to join us coming up, and Serena Marshall is going to join us about the Michael Flynn thing. Today, I'm sure that you saw this. The Sean Spicer from the podium today blamed for Michael Flynn and all the things that he did and taking the money and all that.
Let me guess. Hillary?
Barack Obama.
Ah, it was close. My second guess.
Close. It's Barack Obama's fault.
It's a thanks, Obama.